good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on where you are in the world. Although as I look at the 18 viewers that we currently have with us, I see that pretty much all of us are in Australia. And a big hello to Geraldton. Thank you for your early start in this particular Windows 10 webinar. This is the third or fourth in the series. And my name is not Jeff Alexander. Jeff Alexander is currently in Seattle doing some fairly deep dive training, so it falls to me to do the provisioning Windows 10 webinar today. My name is Andrew McMurray. I used to be a technical evangelist. I am now what we call an account technology strategist working with the education team at Microsoft Australia. And I've been doing quite a bit with Windows 10, and today I want to talk to you about runtime provisioning in Windows 10, which is a new way of being able to configure devices without having to re-image them. As you're probably aware, we've done a lot of work in our imaging solutions over the years. We've got stuff out there like the Microsoft Deployment Toolkit. We've got System Center 2012 R2 Configuration Manager. And these are great in certain circumstances. But when we brought out Windows 10, we came up with a few other ways in which we can provision a new device, hence provisioning packages that we're going to be talking about today. We have an hour to talk about provisioning packages. This is probably the one webinar in the series that may go a little early to time because, to be honest, provisioning packages are not the hardest thing in the world, but they're really quite powerful, and I think you'll find that there are a number of ways in which you can use them in your organisation. So before we get into it, I guess the first question we want to ask ourselves is, what actually comes to mind when you think about deploying new devices in your organisation? So you've been familiar with the way Microsoft releases operating systems over the years, and generally speaking, we get a good three-year time frame between major releases of Windows, which means we go through all of that effort to get the operating system out, and then another one gets announced. And probably the first things that spring to mind is stuff like this. Oh no, I don't want to do this again. I've just finished my Windows 7 rollout. Now I don't want to have to do Windows 10. Oh man, it's expensive. Get lots and lots of people involved, I've got to spend time doing app compatibility, I've got to spend time getting the image exactly right, sorting out all the drivers, and that's complex, right? I mean, it's not something we necessarily want to do. When I go and buy myself a machine from Harvey Norman or from a large supplier, then it comes with a whole bunch of drivers in there that already need to be there, and it's ready to go. And really, I only need to change it a little bit to get it ready to work in my environment. So why do I have to go through this complexity? Of course, compatibility issues is a big thing that people worry about. In the past, application compatibility testing was a massive hassle for us to have to do. Who remembers going from Windows XP to Windows 7? Probably none of you went to Windows Vista in the interim, so you probably went to Windows 7. And there was a lot of compatibility testing that needed to be done there. So this is another thing we need to worry about when we're deploying our new devices. It's time consuming. Your average deployment project can take anywhere up to 18 months. So it's not something that we like to have to do over and over again. And of course, the other thing we need to worry about is that we've got more images to maintain. And when we talk about more images, not only are we dealing with potentially a rolling catalogue of images of different operating systems when we first start doing the deployment to Windows 10, maybe you've got a few machines you still need to support on Windows 7 or Windows 8 or Windows 8.1, but also we need to worry about the fact that it is another image that we've had to build. And irrespective of the fact that we might be automatically getting the drivers downloaded and installed into it, nonetheless it's still extra images that we have to worry about. So ultimately, the really big thing that comes up is the wish that there was an easier way to deal with this. Wouldn't it be lovely if we could just buy a machine from the shop, bring the machine into our environment, and in 5-10 minutes have the machine reconfigure itself to the way we want it on our network? That would be the ultimate way we want to be able to do things. So, runtime provisioning comes to the rescue. This is a new feature of Windows 10 that effectively allows us to get around a lot of those problems that we were talking about in the previous slide. What does it actually allow us to do? All right, well, let's have a look at the high-level messages of runtime provisioning. Firstly, and this is the most important point, runtime provisioning allows us to grab a brand new device. Literally, we've walked into Officeworks, we've walked into Harvey Norman, we've purchased the machine off the shelf, we've taken it back to our environment, and we run a provisioning package across it. Without having to re-image the machine, we can do stuff like changing the product key, joining a domain, grabbing all of the applications we need and installing them, removing the applications that we don't want that may have been left there by the vendor, setting up the networking profiles and a whole bunch of other things as well. So effectively what it allows us to do is get that machine ready to work and ready to be productive straight away without having to re-image it in the first place. One of the other real benefits of runtime provisioning is we now have a common core in Windows 10 across Internet of Things devices, across phones, across two-in-ones, laptops, desktops, all the way up to Surface Hub. Now the benefit of this is because we're dealing with a common core operating system, this means that runtime provisioning can be applied to any aspects of that operating system on any device. The crunch here is that this will work on a mobile device or on a desktop device. So if you've taken some time to build yourself a runtime provisioning package and you're happy with that and it gets your machine ready for the network, and you then go and buy one of those brand new Lumia 950 XLs that are going to be coming out soon, you can run that provisioning package on the phone as well as any desktop that might be around, ensuring that not only are the desktops uniformly connected to your network and set up the way you want them without having to re-image them, but the phone goes the same way as well. The other benefit of runtime provisioning is that you don't need to be connected to a network to do it. Sure, you can run a runtime provisioning package from the network if you want, but ultimately, that runtime provisioning package could be run from a USB stick if you're on a laptop, could be run from an SD card on a phone. We can even deliver a provisioning package to a phone via NFC connectivity as well. So no network connectivity required whatsoever. Beautiful for when you're in rural or remote areas and you just need to get the thing online as quickly as you possibly can, configure the way you want it, and then go from there. The other benefit is this is very, very simple. Literally, the way a person does it is puts in their USB stick or NFC or their SD card, chooses the package they want to apply, and then the package just applies. It's literally a two-click or a one-click process, depending on whether you're dealing with a tap device or a desktop and keyboard device. The last thing is, it's absolutely compatible with all your existing solutions. Now, this is really important. A lot of you have spent a lot of time making sure that you've got your Microsoft Deployment Toolkit environments down pat, and making sure that you've got your Config Manager environments down pat. Or maybe you use Alteryx, or maybe you use Cates, or maybe you use something else like that. This provisioning runtime package scenario doesn't replace any of those, and we're certainly not going to deprecate any of our existing tools. In fact, what's really cool is the Microsoft Deployment Toolkit, and very soon, System Center 2016 Configuration Manager will be able to deliver these provisioning packages themselves as well. So not only do we provide you the ability to keep using the tools you've always used, but we're even extending them to take advantage of runtime provisioning packages if you should need to do so a little bit further down the track. So when would I actually go ahead and use this? You know, I've got potentially some mobile device management capabilities through Microsoft Intune, I might have MDT, I might have Configuration Manager. When would I use provisioning? Would I choose not to use provisioning at all? Would I choose to use provisioning in certain circumstances? And to be honest, really it's up to you. But there's three major areas where we feel that provisioning really comes into its own. The first one is when you've got a brand new device, be it a new machine or maybe a bring your own device phone or something like that, and you don't have a mobile device management solution in place. So you don't have Windows Intune, you don't have Azure Active Directory, you don't have any other vendors' mobile device management capabilities, but you still need to get this machine configured so that it joins your network properly, gets all your SSIDs, your certificates, puts the applications down. Fantastic. The provisioning package allows you to do that. So with no investment whatsoever in any other MDM technology, we can at least get the machine to a point where it's useful and it's working in our environment. The second scenario where we might want to use provisioning is when we want to do some automated or bulk enrollments into either a mobile device management solution such as Microsoft Intune, or automate joining a domain and setting up a bunch of other settings before we grab the rest out of group policy or whatever it might be, or automating the enrollment into Azure Active Directory if you're doing an Azure Active Directory join on the device. The provisioning package can happily automate that procedure, and then from that point on, any other settings or any other applications that need to come down from the mobile device management solution can be done as well. And that's really important to us because it leads into that third scenario. We want to make sure that when we enrol a device into Azure Active Directory, the domain, or the mobile device management platform such as Microsoft Intune, we want to make sure that we've got compliance and security applied to that device before we do the enrolment in the first place. So we know the device is clean and the device is compliant with our internal policies before we bring it onto the domain. Really quite a nice way to go. So straight away I've got a brand new phone, provisioning package, maybe sets up my standard corporate policies, sets up my Wi-Fi profiles, my certificates, and we know the device is in good shape. We then bring it into the MDM capability and hallelujah, we get all of the extra stuff that we need. Now, the really nice thing about number three is we're not in any way relying on that end user to enrol their device in order to ensure compliance. Because at the end of the day, enrolling the device can be, in certain circumstances, an end user-driven process. If we can ensure that the device is compliant and secure, just in case the user completely forgets to ever enrol in the MDM, then we're in a good place, and that's another reason why provisioning can be a good way to go. So how does it actually work? All right, basically the first thing we need to do is we need to go and download the Windows Automated Installation Kit, and that's the Windows AIK for short. That's a download that you can get that includes a whole raft of tools that allows you to help develop images, test machines to make sure they're in a good place, and it also creates a new tool, or houses a new tool, called the Windows Imaging and Configuration Designer. The Windows Imaging and Configuration Designer replaces the unattended text file creator that we had in previous versions, replaces Windows Image System Image Manager that we've had in earlier versions of the operating system as well, and also provides us the ability to create a provisioning package. It's a pretty wicked tool which is useful because if you look at Windows Imaging and Configuration Designer, then the letters stand for wicked anyway, so quite a nice little tool. What this allows me to do is build what we call a provisioning package. Now, a provisioning package is essentially a bundle or an XML representation of a bunch of settings, profiles, and file assets. Now, in addition to that XML representation, we can also deliver the payload of the applications we want to install as part of that provisioning package. So not only will you see an XML manifest in the output of the Windows Imaging Configuration Designer, but you will also see potentially a bunch of APX files and a bunch of MSI files that you might be referring to within that particular package. If we look at what that entails, so it's settings, profiles, assets, and the grand total of those gives us a provisioning package. Settings are basically simple policy type things. So for instance, a setting in a provisioning package might give us a minimal password length for our local applications, or disable a camera, or anything else that might refer to any mobile device management policy that might apply to that device. Profiles are collections of settings that are added as a distinct unit to the provisioning package. So an example of a profile could be a Wi-Fi profile. You might set up a bunch of Wi-Fi profiles to represent different SSIDs that you might auto-connect to, or a VPN. You might set up a VPN profile and put that into the provisioning package. Another example of a good example of a profile is email. So you might set up automatically using ActiveSync to connect to your corporate email or potentially another email service. And then lastly, we have assets. So the assets are the files that are required to make your configuration actually work. So one of the settings you might apply is a specific wallpaper. So maybe you want a company wallpaper to be applied as part of this provisioning package. The asset that goes along with that is the actual wallpaper file itself. Now, once you've got all three of those and you reference them in the Image and Configuration Designer, you then create a provisioning package, which is known as a PPKG file. The PPKG file gets saved to a network location, a USB stick, an SD card, and can also be referenced by an NFC provisioning app a little bit further down the track. And once you've done that, we can then go and apply that provisioning package to the machines or devices that actually need it. So what does it actually look like? All right, well, let's just give you a few examples of how this works. Okay, so first thing we need to understand is how we actually go and apply this package. And once we've got the package, there are several ways to have it applied to the device. Now, the first way we can apply a package to a device is to a brand new first run out-of-box experience or UBI experience. So if I've got a tablet or a PC or if I've got a mobile phone, the very first time I fire that device up, I go into the UBI experience. And on a phone, it'll say welcome, and then it'll ask you to continue and, you know, put in your various settings and so on and so forth. And in Windows, of course, it'll come up and do a similar type of thing. Very similar to what happens after you sysprep an image and then run it back for the first time. Now, when you're in the UBI experience, it won't by default go and look for a provisioning package. You actually have to tell it that you want to apply a provisioning package. And the way we do this is we either tap the Windows button on our phone 5 times when it comes up with the welcome screen, or we hit the Windows key on a laptop device or a desktop device, or the Windows button on a tablet device 5 times. When that happens, it opens up a special menu inside the out-of-box experience that allows me to go and search for a provisioning package. That provisioning package could either be on removable media, such as a SD card or a USB stick, and that's relevant if you're dealing with a desktop-type experience or a mobile experience as well. And NFC, that's a mobile-only type scenario. So if you've got a mobile phone device, you can use an NFC provisioning app to then go and get that particular PPKG file. So that's the first way you can do it on that first run experience. So as part of the boot up, we're automatically putting in all the settings we need, and after we've done that, we'll then ask for your credentials and get you set up on the machine, etc., etc. So that's one way to do it. But what about if you've already been through that first run experience? So maybe you bought the thing from Harvey Norman, you got it home, you opened it up, you got all excited, you went right through the out-of-box experience, and you've now got yourself a bog-standard, vendor-delivered machine. Next day, you take it into work, and you want to be able to apply a provisioning package to that. No problem, you can do it at any time. So during a normal runtime type scenario, as long as you've got access to the PPKG file and all of the other assets that go along with it, you can just execute that. So maybe I send you that file over email, maybe I go to a network location and get that PPKG file, maybe I get provided a URL, maybe I've got it sitting on a web server, or maybe I've even copied it to a DVD. Not a problem, you can fire it off from there. What's even cooler is you can use this new feature we have called USB Tether. So if I've got a mobile device, I can tether that mobile device to my machine and then plug in the USB stick that I have for my PPKG file, and it will automatically notice that there's a mobile phone connected and fire that PPKG file off on that mobile device. It won't actually fire it off straight away. It will cause the mobile device to ask you whether you want to apply the PPKG file that we found on the USB that just got connected to the machine that we were tethered to. So it's pretty cool. The last way we can apply a package, and those of you that happen to be in an education institution may really like this, is we can embed the package in the image. Now, when you embed a provisioning package in an image, you're actually changing the way it behaves. When I embed a provisioning package in an image, that package will be applied every time the machine starts. So remember the good old days of steady state? To an extent, we can get to a point where every time the machine reboots, we apply a provisioning package which sets it up the way we want it, every single boot up. Really good for a shared device, so we want to make sure it has the same settings every time. Not the same as steady state by any stretch of the imagination, but if you understand steady state, you get the idea of what's going on with a provisioning package. It's resetting the machine to a certain set of settings every time it reboots. So pretty cool. Alright, so what does this actually look like? If we have a bit of a run through of what it looks like on a phone, because I don't have a phone to demo for you today. What you can see here is an example of me firing up my mobile device for the first time, and I end up at the welcome screen. At this point, if I want to provision a package in the first run experience, I have to tap that Windows key 5 times. And when I tap that Windows key 5 times, straight away up comes a menu that allows me to go ahead and provision that device. Now you'll see that the menu that comes up says provision this device, and it gives me the option to choose either removable media, in other words I'll go look for an SD card, or an NFC type scenario. After I've chosen my repository of the PPKG file, it then looks at that repository, finds all of the packages, and asks me which one I want to apply, or what combination of them that I want to apply as I go a little bit further along. After I've done that, the machine provisions itself the way we need it, the phone I should say, and then we log in. Now at some stage later on, I might want to deliberately provision myself a package. So during runtime, if I want to provision myself a package, I can literally on a mobile device go to my settings, go to my accounts, and go to provisioning. And you'll see what you can see on the screen now. The provisioning section allows me to add a package. I can then choose where to add it from. I get a drop-down for removable media or NFC, and then I select the package again. So I had that ability to either do it as part of the Ubi experience or to do it later on after I've set the machine up. If I want to do a USB tether, it gets even cooler. So as I said before, what I do in order to do USB tether is I get my phone and I tether it to my laptop. And you can see here on my screen, I've got my File Explorer open, and you can see that my Windows phone device is connected to that. Now all I need to do is connect a USB stick with my PPKG file on it, grab that PPKG file off it, and copy it to the device storage. And when I copy it over the top of the device itself will wake up and say, right, you want to apply this package? Do you trust it? Yes or no? Now notice here that this is actually putting the onus on the end user to determine whether or not they want to apply this provisioning package. That's fine, and the reason this is happening is because we haven't digitally signed this particular package. I have the ability to set up digital signatures on a per package basis, and by digitally signing a device, ensuring of course that the root certificate is on the device, then I'll be able to execute that straight away without this prompt if that's something I need to do. So once I've run the provisioning package on that mobile device and done it the way I need to do it, what happens later on if a user decides they want to remove a package? So we have the ability to manage packages a little bit further down the track. Now, in terms of managing packages, we go back to our provisioning section and we choose the package that we want to manage. What's really important here is only the packages that the user installed themselves are going to show up here. If you use a mobile device management solution to deliberately provision a package down to a device, the user won't even see it there because the user didn't do the initiation of the installation. So the user can choose to look at the details of their package, can choose to delete a package if they want to, and if they do choose to delete a package, then it will remove all of those settings, all of those apps, all of the profiles that are contained. It literally just wipes out all of the stuff that are put on there initially. At any stage, a user can click on a package and they can get more information about the package that they're looking at as well. So if they're not sure what the package actually put on their machine, they can click it, have a look at it, determine whether or not it's still relevant to them. Now, that's all very well, but we've been looking at this from the perspective of a mobile device. One of the great things is Windows, at its core, is the same across mobile devices, across laptops, across desktops, etc., etc. So the user interface becomes consistent whether you're dealing with a desktop machine or whether you're dealing with a mobile device. And you can see here the image on the right is a representation of the provisioning UI on a mobile device. The screen snap on the left, however, is what you would see on a desktop environment. And as you can see, they're pretty much the same. The only difference here is that we call it provisioning as its title bar because we don't have a lot of screen real estate in a mobile. But on a PC type environment, whether it be laptop, desktop or tablet, we'll choose to call it packages on this device, but they do the same thing. So the beauty there is that the end user doesn't need to learn a whole lot of new skills in order to apply a provisioning package if we're requiring them to do it themselves. Okay, so what type of stuff can we actually provision on a device? Well, in actual fact, we can provision a hell of a lot of stuff. We have the ability to do some initial setup, the ability to upgrade your editions, so go from Pro to Enterprise, for instance, or go from Home or Pro to Education. We can throw certificates down, we can throw our connectivity profiles down, and a whole raft of other things as well. So let's dig into some examples of what some of those actually look like. Okay, so firstly, the provisioning upgrade. And this is really, really nice. In Windows 10, we've done a lot of work in making sure that if you want to change the SKU of Windows 10, if you want to change it from Home, Pro, Enterprise or something else, then we don't need to go and re-image the machine. What we can do now is we can simply specify a different licensing key for the edition of Windows that we're currently running, and it will upgrade itself to the appropriate edition. So in this case, for instance, let's say I'm working in a school environment, and I've got a student that's brought their own device in and they're running Windows 10 Home or Windows 10 Pro, I could put the license key in for Windows 10 Education and it would happily upgrade that machine to Windows 10 Education, thus giving them access to the same feature set that they would get with Windows 10 Enterprise but giving them a perpetual licence when they leave the school and not causing any issues a year down the track when we can't find the KMS anymore. So that's a really quite a nice one to use, and I'll show you an example of that when we get into the demo. When it comes to initial setup, and bear in mind this is not an exhaustive list, this is just some highlights, and I do encourage everyone to, you know, try this out at some point and give it a go themselves with the tool. But when it comes to initial setup, things like setting the computer name, doing first run type applications, hiding the first run experience completely from the end user so they don't see any of the prompts, and also setting up your local accounts. They're quite nice there as well. What else can we provision? We can automatically get our machine to enrol in a management solution. Now, as I said before, we might be using the provisioning package to get the machine basically set up with the settings we want so that it's compliant with our policy when we first bring it onto our network. And then after we've brought it onto the network, we might want it to go ahead and join Azure Active Directory or join our mobile device management infrastructure. Now, that's fine. You could do that outside of a provisioning package, but the provisioning package itself can be used to automatically do the Azure Active Directory join and the Microsoft Intune join, which is really useful because it stops the end user having to go to settings, go to accounts, go to work access, and type it all in manually. We just get it done for them so they don't have to think, they don't have to know the process, it just gets done. Universal Windows apps. So let's just say that you've built yourself some Universal Windows apps, you've got the APX files for them, or you've got yourself a Windows Store application that you've procured with Windows Store for Business, we can automatically get those provisioned down to the machine via the provisioning package as well. Additionally, the provisioning package can go and find any pre-installed Windows Universal apps, in other words, APX-based apps, and remove them as well. Now, this is particularly cool, but notice I'm being very careful about saying APX stuff. When you look at the Windows Imaging and Configuration Designer, and you go to the tab that says Applications, the only stuff it will let you play with in that tab is APX files. Now, that produces the question, great, thanks mate, you just told me I could remove all of the vendor's crapware from here, but the vendor's crapware is predominantly MSI based, so what am I going to do now? Or more to the point, I've got some MSI based applications that I want to provision, and you're telling me that Universal Windows apps is APX only. Yeah, I am, but don't stress, because if you have a look at what else we can do, we also have the ability through that application package to refer and execute to Win32 application scripts. And this is what we use to deploy an MSI package, an XE package, run a script to invoke an uninstall routine, or run any type of PowerShell script that we want as well. So if you want to do the scenario where you're provisioning your applications that are not APX based, or you're trying to remove vendor crapware that is not APX based, then you set up the scripts in the provisioning package under Win32 application scripts. I'm not going to promise you the world and then deliver you a single continent. It is not going to automatically find the vendor's crapware and just remove it. You need to know what's going to be on that model of machine, you need to know what the uninstall script is, and you need to put that in the provisioning package. Sure, you can fill it with scripts that might refer to applications that aren't actually on the end device, and they will happily fail silently and move on to the next one, and that won't be a problem to you in your provisioning. But this is where we do it, so please be aware of that when you're actually looking at the configuration and imaging designer so that you don't get lost or confused. So what's actually happening under the hood? Well, basically, under the hood, the provisioning process is using the same management service that gets exposed through mobile device management in all of its ways, shapes and forms. So we ship with a bunch of CSPs, or configuration service providers, that actually do the configuration of the machine. And we have an MDM client, a provisioning engine, and an ActiveSync client that all call those. Now the benefit of this is, if you are writing your own code to be able to do specific configuration service providers, you will be able to have them work through Microsoft Intune, the Wicked tool, or even standard ActiveSync without having to do any more development. So it's really quite a nice way of getting this done. And one of the other things that generally comes up is, okay, you're building a provisioning package. You're building a PPKG file. You're asking my user to invoke that on their machine potentially if we're not automatically delivering it.
isn't that a security issue? What happens if someone gets my provisioning package and configures their machine that's got nothing to do with my environment with all my settings? That's a security problem. Agreed, so we have the ability to encrypt our packages when we create them as well. You encrypt a package through the Windows Imaging and Configuration Designer, and when you choose to encrypt a package, it automatically creates an encryption password for you. You don't choose it yourself. And the reason you don't choose it yourself is exactly what's on the screen now. We don't particularly want people doing weak passwords, so we forcibly do that ourselves. We can go back later on and reopen a package inside the Imaging Configuration Designer and see what that password is if we need to, assuming we have access to the Configuration Designer, and we can change it at a later date if we need to as well. The other thing we might want to do is digitally sign our package. Now, normally, when you install a provisioning package, the first thing it will do is bring up a security warning. Is this package from a source that you trust? If you choose to digitally sign a package, then we get the ability to install or provision that package without copying the security warning. Of course, the only way this is going to work is if the certificate that you used to sign the package has a corresponding root cert on the target device, thus allowing it to trust it straight away. If you don't have that, then you're still going to get this warning sign come up. But again, with a combination of encryption, password, digital signature, we pretty much have all of your security concerns covered off. Of course, once the packages are in place, we may need to manage those packages. We have the ability to, through a central mobile device management capability, such as Microsoft Intune, or very soon to be released, System Center 2016 Configuration Manager, we have the ability to disable provisioning policies whenever we need to. We can also manually delete packages if we want to. We can manually install new packages. And we can also, when resetting a device, choose to keep those packages on the device as well. So if I've got myself a mobile device and I'm choosing to do a reset, then I have the ability to remove the provision content or leave it there as well. Now, generally speaking, it's a fairly innocuous process in order to get this done. However, like anything to do with IT, occasionally problems will happen. So if you do need to troubleshoot your installation at any particular time, then there are really two steps that you need to do. First thing that you need to do is you need to gather log files to find out what on earth was happening when the provisioning package attempted to apply itself to either the mobile device or the full-blown PC. If you're on a mobile device, you need to download Field Medic from the Windows Store, and you can choose to collect logs using Field Medic when you run the provisioning package. And if you're on a desktop, you need to use Windows Performance Recorder, or WPR.exe. Now, if you've installed the Windows AIK on your machine, you already have the Windows Performance Recorder. You will need to get that installed, however, if the AIK is not installed. And then once you've done that, you can use Windows Performance Analyzer to read the logs that have been created by Field Medic or WPR.exe. Windows Performance Analyzer is also part of the Windows Automated Installation Kit, so you'll need to make sure you've got that installed on the machine where you're going to try that out. Alrighty, so that's a lot to take in all at once. We're at the 33-minute mark now, so why don't we change pace a little bit and actually do a bit of a demo. So what I want to show you is a demo of what the Imaging and Configuration Designer actually looks like, and then I'll show you the effect of installing one of these configuration packages on a machine. So what we'll do now is we'll just share this screen. And I'll wait for that to come up. Looks like you can see my screen now. So the first thing I want to show you is the Windows Imaging and Configuration Designer tool. So this is the tool that we get when we install the Windows Automated Installation Kit, or Windows AIK, and this is what's going to allow us to create this provisioning package. Now the first thing we want to do is create ourselves a new provisioning package like so. And when I choose to create a new provisioning package, it will ask me for some basic details. So I'll call it Windows 10 Package, for want of a better name. I can choose where to save this particular folder, and I can also choose to put in a description. I don't need to worry about that, I'll choose next. The next thing it says is, okay, well, what settings do you want to play with? Now, we can choose to create a provisioning package that has all of the settings for both desktop and mobile editions in it, as well as Internet of Things Core, or we can deliberately create a package that's designed for one of those types of the operating system. I'll go with the All Windows Editions. I can now choose to import a provisioning package, so maybe I'm editing one I created before. I'm not doing that at this point. I'll hit Finish, and now what it's going to do is create an empty configuration package for me, and off I go. So it takes a few seconds to get that done, and now you'll see that I have an available customization settings here, and there are two types of customizations I can create. Deployment assets for doing stuff at the deployment time, and runtime settings for stuff that runs every day. So I think the first thing I'll do is go and provision some Wi-Fi settings for the machine that I'm going to apply this to. So what I'll do is I'll go to my runtime settings here, and under runtime settings I'll go to my connectivity profiles, and under connectivity profiles you'll see that I have a wireless LAN and a WLAN setting section here. Now in the WLAN setting I'm going to put in my SSID for the wireless network I want this machine to connect to. So I'll call it the Contoso SSID, like so, and I'll click the Add button. Now you can see what happens is it said, right, I now know that I've got to connect to a network called Contoso SSID, but you haven't finished configuring me yet. So what I need to do is I need to open up that SSID, like so. I then need to go into my WLAN XML settings, and I might go into Auto Connect here. And you can see that when I go to Auto Connect, I can choose a drop-down to auto-connect to this particular Wi-Fi point. So we're going to do that as true. What we're then going to do is we're being told that we need to configure the security type here. So you'll notice that any required setting becomes red straight away. So I know I've got to do something about it. Whereas the auto-connect setting, I don't care if you're auto-connecting or not. So I've gone ahead and changed that. But what I'll do now is I'll go into my security type and I'll choose WPA2 Personal to make sure that it's as secure as it can be. And under the security key setting here, obviously we need to put the password in. I'm going to put in my very secure password of 555-444-1234. And I'm very happily now configured. Great, I've got myself a Wi-Fi profile I'm going to push out. So the next thing I'm going to do is actually play around with some of the device policies. I think that's probably a good idea as well. So what I'll do now is I'll go into my policy section here, like so, and there's a whole bunch of policies that you can see here. If you're familiar with group policy or familiar with Microsoft Intune or any of those other device management policy engines, then this looks fairly familiar to you, I'm sure. So what I'm going to do now is go into the system section here, and I'm going to choose to go to the allow location because I don't particularly want this device to report its location ever. Now you'll notice that what's really cool here is when I choose the allow location setting of no, straight away down the bottom here it opens up the help documentation on msdn.microsoft.com that tells me all about what that setting actually does. So if I don't actually know what I'm looking at, no problem, I've got documentation right in front of me. Alright, the next thing I'm going to do is go into my Wi-Fi policies here, like so. And I'm going to go to the allow manual Wi-Fi configuration because I'm a bit of a hard case. I don't want anyone connecting to any Wi-Fi access point except the one that I've chosen. So straight away I'll say no, you're not allowed to do your own manual Wi-Fi configuration, which is pretty cool. Now, the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to provision some public documents. So in this case, what I'll do is I'll go into my policies, runtime settings here, and I'll go to my folders section, and under my folders section I've got public documents because what I want to do is I want to make sure that I'm putting a couple of doc files or an XLS file into the public documents folder on the base operating system of this machine. So maybe it's a document that describes the help desk process for my organisation. I want to make sure that always appears on the machine. So what I'll do is I'll go to browse my machine here. And maybe I'll go to my documents directory, or I should say my downloads directory, and maybe I want to put in here a specific invite to Microsoft Ignite Australia, which is happening on the 17th to the 20th of November. Book now to get your particular ticket. And I can choose to put in a relative path. So right now, if I leave that blank, what's going to happen is it's going to put that Outlook invite directly in the root of my public documents directory. So everyone that logs onto the machine is going to get that, or I can put in a relative path further down that particular directory. You know, maybe what I also want to do is I want to set up some policies for the internet browser. So Microsoft Edge is our new internet browser. And what I'm going to do here is I'm just going to go ahead and preset that homepage URL to http://www.contoso.com. So because this is a Contoso employee device, I know that as soon as they apply this provisioning package, that is going to be their default homepage from that point on. So what do you reckon? There's a lot of stuff that we can do here, and you know, it's pretty similar to what you may have seen in the past. So I'm pretty happy with that. I've got myself a provisioning package. One last thing I might want to do, however, is go to my deployment assets and go to my, where are we? I'll just close some of this down. I think I went to the wrong spot there. Where are we? I'm looking for my addition upgrade. There we are. So the last thing I might want to do with this is actually provide a new product key to change the Windows SKU. Because I could very well be wanting to put an enterprise edition of Windows on a machine that someone's bought from Harvey Norman. And they've brought that in with Windows 10 Home or Windows 10 Pro. So in here I can put in my key. And I dare you to try running that on Windows, it's not going to work. And then when we do that provisioning package, we're going to get that particular key installed, which is going to convert us to enterprise, and we're good to go. This is really, really nice, getting us away from having to re-image that machine. But I'm not actually going to do it with this one, so I will I'll let that one go. I'll just remove that one. And now it's gone. You can see it's now removed it, which is good. Okay, so the last thing I need to do is go ahead and export this as a provisioning package. So when I choose Export Provisioning Package, it asks me to put in a name, what the version number is, etc., etc. Click Next. Choose whether or not I want to encrypt the package, and you can see that it's given me a password here that it's going to be. Notice that it's actually said, oh, by the way, I noticed that you've put some sensitive customizations in this package, specifically the password to get onto the Wi-Fi. So I'm actually going to tell you to encrypt this package straight away. Really nice feature. I don't care. I'm going to choose to be stupid and not encrypt it. And I'm not going to sign it either. I'll click Next. And you can see here that it gives me an automatic location to save it to. Hit Next. Hit Build. Got myself a provisioning package. All done. If I now go into my Documents directory, and go to my Imaging and Configuration Designer, and go into my Windows 10 package, you'll see there's all the information I need to actually get this done. Wow, easy as that. So next thing I need to do is go and apply it to a machine. Now what I'm going to show you now, and I'll just close these down. Is I'm going to go into a virtual machine that I've got. Now this virtual machine is currently running Windows 10 Pro. So if I go to my settings on this particular machine, go to System, then go to About, you'll see that this edition at the moment is Windows 10 Pro. Now we've gone and built a provisioning package ahead of time that changes the SKU of this machine. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go into my File Explorer, like so. Go to this PC, and I've actually saved my provisioning package to this virtual floppy drive. And when I open that virtual floppy drive, but you haven't seen a floppy drive for a while, you'll see that I have my PPKG file here right now. In order to apply this, literally all that's in it is the change of the product key to take me to Windows 10 Enterprise. I fire that off like so. And the first thing it will do is it will ask me whether or not this package is from a source that I trust. Why is it asking me that? Because I haven't signed it straight away and it doesn't have a password attached to it. So I now click Yes, Add It. Now what happens now is it goes ahead and it starts doing the reconfiguration. Now the time it takes to do the reconfiguration can vary. It can take a couple of minutes, it can take 10 minutes, however long it takes to get it done. This particular package on our demo environment takes around about 10 minutes to run. And I'm pretty sure that we don't want to sit here watching it reboot a couple of times. So what we've done is in our Hyper-V environment, we've actually created a snapshot that shows what happens after it does the reboot. So what I'll do is I'll just apply that right now. And I'll reboot the machine so that we can see what it looks like on the login. So we'll just wait for that to come up. As you can see now, it's saving. And now what we should be able to do is start it back up again. It's restoring the save state. So remember, this represents what's happened after the provisioning package is done. And here it is. We'll just log on as Jeff. Very handsome picture there, Jeff. And this is what happens. So after we've logged back in, it tells us that we're finished and that we're good to go. So now, do we trust it? Of course not. Let's go and look at the settings to prove that it actually works. So we'll go into settings now. We'll go to system. We'll go to about. And as you can see, we are now a Windows 10 Enterprise machine. We didn't re-image the machine. All we did was we applied a provisioning package to it, and we're good to go. So pretty good stuff, really. And that, what did that cost me? Cost me absolutely nothing whatsoever, because this is part of the operating system feature set itself. All you need to do is get that AIK and you're good to go. So we're now 15 minutes from time. Just wanted to run you through a couple of typical use cases as to when we would use this. So the first one is, you know, pretty standard. We've got a brand new device, an employee's coming on board. We need to get it ready to go just before they come in. So what we might do is we might build ourselves one of these provisioning packages, put it on the USB stick, and in that provisioning package we might upgrade the edition, because we've literally gone to JB Hi-Fi, we've grabbed the device, we've come back to work, we've taken it out of the box, we've plugged it in, we want to change the edition from Windows 10 Home to Windows 10 Enterprise, we want to change the computer name to something that fits in with our company standards. We want to put the company's root certificate down so it's not going to cause any problems with internal websites, put the Wi-Fi profile down, join the domain, and maybe put on some applications, get that ready to go. So there's an example of how we could do this with an external USB stick. The next one, configuring a device to be used as a point of sale or inventory terminal. So now we're walking away from that concept of the laptop, and maybe we've got ourselves a ruggedized device. Now, in terms of something like this, the way we get to it is either a USB tether or maybe doing an NFC delivery application or an SD card, put that into the device, boot it up, punch that Windows key 5 times, and then add in the appropriate package. And you can see here, might even set up some extra line of business applications in addition to the other stuff that we did before. Might even set up assigned access so that it can only use that one application that's used for the inventory terminal or the POS device. The next one, user brings their own machine into the organisation. This is my machine, I bought it myself, I brought it to work, I want to work with it. No problem, not a stress. What we'll do is we'll email you the PPKG file, or maybe we'll give you a URL to our internal web server to execute this against. And when we fire that off, we're putting just enough of the company stuff onto the device so that it can work properly when they're online at the company, but we're not taking over that device completely with a config manager client and effectively taking ownership of that device. It's still the end user's device. When they leave the organisation, they can remove the provisioning package. The device remains effectively untouched, which is great. Okay, and the next one is embedding a package in the image. So this is that example of steady state, but not quite steady state that I talked about before. I need to make sure that every single time the machine reboots, it gets a persistent set of configuration settings. So if someone comes in and changes every setting on the machine, the next time it reboots, it's back the way it was. Great for student labs, great for standard lab environments, great for machines where lots and lots of people use them and can effectively play around with them or take them outside of a certain level of compliance. Alrighty, so that is pretty much everything that I had to show you today. So I'm going to be giving you back around about 10 minutes of your day, which is great. If you've got any questions you wanted to ask, Hopefully you've been putting them in the Q&A panel, but feel free to put them in now. But in terms of next steps, there's a few things that we'd really like you to try out. Firstly, get the Windows Imaging and Configuration Tool. Go and download the Windows 10 Assessment Deployment Kit, or the ADK. You can find that through searching your search engine of choice. Try to build yourself a configuration package and use it to configure your devices. Documentation is really good. There are also some hands-on labs that are available at our TechNet Virtual Labs website. So if you go to your browser of choice and search for TechNet Virtual Labs, you'll find that there is a Windows 10 deployment lab specifically targeted at education called IT Pro Try It Out. However, everything in that particular lab is absolutely relevant for any sector that might be out there, not just education. And in that lab, you will actually build a provisioning package and apply it to a machine. In fact, I was a bit of a cheat. The package that you saw me build in the demo is the exact same one that's in the hands-on lab. So if you want to try it out, please do. It's easy to use, really nice. Give it a crack. So anyway, hopefully you've got a bit of an idea around provisioning packages now. Hopefully this is something you're interested in trying out. Please give it a go. If you're coming to Ignite on the Gold Coast this year, really think about it. We're going to be doing a lot of sessions around deployment, specifically another one on provisioning that myself and Jeff Alexander will be delivering. We hope to see you there. Have a great day, and Jeff will be back with you next week for another Windows 10 webinar. Thanks very much for your time.